Hello and welcome to the Pod of the Damned. I'm your host, Ian. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Nico. Nico, we've done it! We finally did it. We've made it to 100 episodes. How's it going, buddy?
I don't know how we made it to 100, to be honest.
I don't know how we made it to 2, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Especially after you picked fucking Dr. Sleep in our first episode. That should have been a surefire sign for me right there. This ain't gonna last. But we did. We've made it. We've made it to 100 episodes. We're still co-hosting together, despite some. I'll say some disagreements, but this is a time for celebration, Nico. This is a time for us to come together and be nice to each other a little bit, because you know we're celebrating.
Yeah. 100 episodes.
100 episodes. 100 episodes is an achievement. I don't care what anyone says. Like, I know a lot of our podcast friends and family out there have already surpassed this, and some of them have gone on and surpassed 2 and however many episodes. We'll get there as well, because if we can make it to 100, we can make it till 2.
You say that.
I say that. It's only taken us 2.5 years to get to 100. I guess. It did take, in fairness, I think we were scheduled to hit 100 around September time, but we kept taking like really long breaks last year and we just never ended up making it.
The end of the year was fucking mental.
It was mental. It was really mental. But we've already taken steps to ensure that that doesn't happen again this year, because as we were talking before there, you know, we're already ahead of schedule. We've got a lot planned for the next week, so we should already be like a good few weeks ahead of schedule as well. So hopefully that's not going to be an issue in 2024. It is one of my sort of, I set myself some podcasting goals and targets for us to hit this year, and that was one of them. So we're already ticking things off our targets. We've got, what cat is that? Is that Shira?
Yeah.
I can only see the tip of the tail, so I couldn't quite tell which cat it was, but. There's Shira. Bless.
She literally came on just as you started saying hello, basically.
I think she's just attracted to my voice.
Yeah, totally.
I've just got a sexy, sexy voice.
A sexy.
Our listeners tell me that all the time. They don't. Oh, there you go. Question of the week. Who's got a sexier voice? Me or Nico?
Oh, Jesus. All right, you'll vote on it and cheat, it's fine.
I never vote on these things.
Apart from the who's the funny one or whatever it was.
It wasn't just decided by one vote, that. So even if I did vote, I would have still been voted the funnier out of the two of us. That's all I can say, Nico. Listen, you just have to put up with being the straight man, that's all it is.
Yeah, I'm the straight man.
Well, in case anyone hasn't noticed, people listening to the listen to this on the podcast are like, I can't see a fucking cat. I'm listening to this audio only. Well, you can see the cat if you subscribe to us on Patreon, patreon.com/podofthedamned. You can subscribe to us there for £1. We upload all of our video content there. You can find us on X at Damned Podcast. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Pod of the Damned. And you can email us at podofthedamned@gmail.com. Email us and let us know which one of us has a sexier voice. I'm going to put that up later today on our social
you
media.
As well,
I absolutely am. It's going on a poll.
Oh.
So this is our 100th episode. We're going to, obviously, it's not going to be like one of our traditional movie review episodes. I say that like we've done a traditional movie review in the past month. We haven't. even though our last actual horror movie that we released, you weren't even on that episode. So you've not
done. What was
done...
the last one like?
The last one we did was Woman in Black.
Shit, no, I wasn't on that one.
And you were on the one before, which I've immediately forgotten what it was. And that's how good it was.
Was it not your Christmas one?
No, because that doesn't count as a horror review, though, because it was It's a Wonderful Life.
That's true. But did we not do a horror one then as well?
No, we didn't. That was it. The last one before that was Hocus Pocus 2, Nico.
Bloody hell.
So yeah, we're going way back. But as I said, this isn't a traditional episode. From our next episode, our 101st episode, we will be back to our traditional horror reviews. But for this episode, we're going to have a little bit of fun. So we've got a few things planned. Me and Nico are going to go through, we're going to revive, half revive an old side series that we used to do on the old show. We did one episode of the side series on this show way, way back in the day. I think we should bring it back. It's our top five series. We did a lot of those on the old show. We've only done one for this podcast. And like I say,
a lot of folk liked it as well.
I know. It's one of our most successful episodes we've ever done. So if you go way, way back in the day, we did a top 10 80s horror movie episode. And as I say, it's one of our most successful.
Lost Boy.
I can't even remember what I picked.
Near Dark or fucking Six?
No, there's no way I picked Near Dark. There's no way.
That was a vampire one, was it?
So I think we should bring back the top fives for 2024.
I'd be up for that.
I think we should bring back the top fives for 2024. So we're gonna do a little one. We're gonna go through our top five horror movies each personally, and our top five horror TV shows personally, and we're just gonna have a little bit of a discussion about that. Then we've got some Q&A that you guys have submitted for us, our listeners and followers. We're keeping that relatively short, but we've got a good chunk of questions in there and some interesting ones. Nico doesn't know what any of the questions are. I obviously know what the questions are, but I haven't researched any of the answers or any of my own personal answers. So trying to keep it as off the cuff as possible. And then we're going to end the show with something that we've been promising for a long time, a little bit of re-ranking. So me and Nico have picked three movies each that we've already reviewed, and we're going to rescore them because you know, opinions on horror movie are fluid, Nico, and sometimes opinions change. And, you know, we are going to re-rank three movies each that we either felt we've been too generous for or not generous enough to. I've also taken the time, Nico, to go back through all of the movies that we've done and update their IMDb scores, their Metacritic scores, and their Rotten Tomatoes scores to reflect, because again, they're all subject to change as well. And it does have a couple of repercussions for overall scores in the leaderboards. Not like huge, but I think if it may change what things are on the top and the bottom.
Well, I doubt it. But yeah.
You can doubt it all you like. I know for a fact.
Oh, you've done the math, you dickhead.
I have very much, very, very much done the math. We're going to go through all that today. And then, as I say, from our next episode, we're going to be back to our regular show. So we're just going to crack on, and we're going to do... Do you want to do top five horror movies or top five horror TV shows first?
We'll do TV shows.
TV shows first. So we're going to go from 5 to 1, and we'll take it in turns, going from 5 to 1, as we normally do. Do you want to go first or second?
I always go first, so you go first.
Okay, I'm going to go first. So I found the five TV shows to pick that I picked pretty easy to pick. What I didn't find so easy was deciding what order I was going to put them in. So at number five, I've put Hannibal.
Oh, I've got that too, but not at five.
I put Hannibal at number five. I really decided it was difficult. I was going to put this in either 4 or 5. And
well, it's 3 for me.
It's 3 for you, okay.
So you know what my third one.
Yeah, so Hannibal, I think, specifically those first 2 seasons of Hannibal, maybe slightly less the 3rd season, but those first 2 seasons of Hannibal, I think, are just incredible TV.
It's... I know this sounds weird, but we used to watch it having dinner, and it made us hungry.
I thought you were going to say having sex.
May have happened a couple of times.
I'm sure it did. It made you hungry. Are you a cannibal, Nico?
No, it's just for his day and the cooking and shit. It just looks amazing.
I think, first and foremost, Mads Mikkelsen is a great actor. And I think there's always... It's one of those things, isn't it? That it's always a challenge when you're playing a character that's been portrayed so well previously by a different actor. So obviously, I think even though Mads Mikkelsen does an incredible job, everyone knows Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter. Like, he in Silence of the Lambs, in Red Dragon, in the middle movie... Hannibal. It is just called Hannibal, isn't it?
I'm like, he's going to fuck this up, really?
can't believe I forgot the one that's called Hannibal.
In the one that the TV show's named after. Yeah. In those movies,
he's just perfect, isn't he, as Hannibal actor? Specifically in, you know, Silence of the Lambs, which is probably the one that focuses on him the most. He does such an incredible job. It's always going to be difficult. Again, we talked about this briefly, I think, in our last episode about how difficult it is for TV to sometimes compete with film as well. You know, we talked a little bit about that in our award season, because quite a few TV shows actually got nominated during our awards. So I thought that was quite... I thought that when Hannibal came out and Mads Mikkelsen specifically did such an incredible job at playing Hannibal Lecter, you know, that it was gripping. Like, I remember watching that, specifically that first season, the second season as well, but I just remember watching them and I could not take my eyes off it. That was definitely something that I absolutely binged.
Yeah, because the thing about it was, right, when I first started watching it, I was like, I put it off to start with because I'm like, I love the movies so much. And don't get me wrong, I thought he's a great actor, but I didn't think he would even touch Anthony Hopkins. And I'm like, this has got to be shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. This has got to be really crap. And then I watched the first episode because it was Zeta that managed to talk me into it and never looked back. I thought it was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
He does it slightly different, but similar.
Yeah. He's got
it works for him.
And I think he just plays that sort of, he plays like that sort of creepy, confident character so well, doesn't he? Like, yeah. He just has this sort of air about him that, you know, it's fully believable in that role.
And the thing about it is the way he, it's even the way he moves and everything, and it's like he just moves out of sync to everybody else and it works in it.
Yeah.
Which I noticed. And it, like, even when there was one scene I remember, they're all walking into the room and everyone is perfectly in line, in sync, and he's like a half a step off. And it just brings them out of the crowd, and it's something simple that they can do, but worked really well.
Yeah, 100%. So, anyways, that's my number five, Nico. What's your number five then when it comes to horror TV shows?
What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, that's not made my top five.
Because it's just fucking hysterical. Like, it is absolutely, like, some of it is just, like, especially the nightclub season, that is just hysterical, where it's the, what's his name again, the energy vampire, where he's just, like, a little boy dancing about, like, doing the sunshine lollipop and all that fucking shit. You're like, it's just hysterical, you know?
I mean, for me, if you've got, Matt Berry is just, like, everything, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's got the voice, and you can't beat Matt Berry. He's so funny. He's possibly like one of my favorite sort of comedians at the moment. Just because his delivery is just so unique.
It's like he comes across proper like deadpan.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and then just absolutely fucking insane the next time. And I love that.
Yeah. 100%. Do you prefer that or the movie?
I like the movie, but the movie's like meh compared to the TV show. The TV show, they just do it perfectly, I think.
Okay. That's interesting, because, you know, a lot of people, I think, prefer the movie to the TV show. The TV show's run for, what, 5 seasons now?
Fifth season's this
I think as well, though, when you've got that sort of... Because it's obviously sort of created from... his name's just escaped me. I can never pronounce his name.
I can never say it, so I'm not even
Taiki Waititi? I don't know. Absolutely butchering it. It's got that sort of like... And I know you've got... in the movie, you've got Jermaine Clement in there as well, who's one half of Flight of the Conchords, which is one of... That's one of my like all-time favourite TV shows, full stop, because I love that sort of dry... deadpan humor, and it's all just got that sort of New Zealand Aussie vibe, isn't it? That kind of humor, it very much appeals to us over here in the UK as well, I think.
Yeah, like it's the mates humor that you have over here, like the close mates, you know, when you're fucking brutal to each other.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, you know, Some people in certain parts of the Western world, America, don't understand that, Nico, I can call you a cunt, but that's a ter like it's a term of endearment.
But it depends how you say it.
Yeah,
That's the thing.
because
Like, fuck is the most famous one in Scotland. If you say fuck certain different ways, right? You can say it three different ways and mean three totally different
yeah.
meanings.
Listen, Nico, you're a sound cunt.
Hi.
There you go. See, it's
You're
fine.
a crazy fucker.
Okay, right. That's your number five then for horror TV shows. So let's move on to our number fours. My number four is probably it is horror. It's probably not like out and out balls to the wall horror, but it's absolutely horror, and it's probably one of like the most influential TV shows for young adults growing up and younger, and even adults now. There's still adults who love it. It's Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That didn't even make my top
You
five.
didn't put Buffy in.
And you know what, how much of a Buffy fan I am.
Wow, I thought that would have been like top two for you.
The thing is, I don't know why, right? I like comedy horrors and stuff, but I see Buffy as just more like it doesn't feel horror, it just feels horror adjacent to me.
But that counts, though. We've
I know, but.
reviewed movies on the podcast that are not out and out horror. That you're
Oh yeah,
horror.
I know that. But it's I love Buffy.
I mean,
Like,
our next episode is not out and out horror.
yeah, I think it is.
Okay, well, that's a discussion for the next episode. But it's just a point there. Like, it
Exactly.
doesn't have to be out and out horror to count. And there's and like it's entry level horror for a lot of people, isn't it? But I for
It's
me.
very entry, yeah.
But you can't deny the sort of impact and influence it's not only had on horror, but just pop culture in general as well. Like Buffy the Vampire Slayer absolutely was like the pinnacle of TV for like
Oh,
young
yeah.
adults. And it
Yeah.
did have some truly terrifying episodes as well. Like they had some truly like really scary villains in there as well at times.
Yeah, that musical episode when Sarah Michelle Gellar sings is really fun.
This
It's hysterical because she's the only one that shits singing.
is
I'm like, why did she agree to
You know, so for me, like it was a no-brainer, even though it's down at number four, Buffy was the first one I put on the list.
Yeah.
It was a no-brainer for me.
I never even thought of it, to be honest. I'm not gonna lie.
Good. Well, that's interesting to me. I'm interested then to see what you've put at number four.
I put The Strain.
The what?
The Strain.
The Strain. I've never fucking heard of that. What the fuck is that?
So it's like a vampire thing. Basically, the first episode, it starts off with a plane, and it lands in New York, and it's instantly quarantined. And the vampire thing is like their worms is what spreads the disease sort of thing, and it turns them into vampires and stuff. And you find out there's this like big, it's like Count Dracula type thing.
Okay.
It's really, really good.
I'm just looking it up at the minute because I've genuinely never heard of it. And I feel like, I don't know if I've maybe just been absolutely blind and missed something really big, or if it may, was it something that didn't really make a huge impact? But
I think I had like five or
it
six
looks
seasons.
like, according to this, it's run for a few seasons.
They were talking about bringing it back, like revamping it.
I don't know, maybe again, like I say, if I'm just being a bit sort of dense when it comes to this one.
It's
It's not one I'd really particularly remember, like, you know, like this,
like
like this,
whenever they
like.
cut their heads off and stuff, you see worms spurting out. Like when they're spreading the disease, it's not like they're biting them, even though they are draining them of blood.
Yeah.
When they're spreading it, they bite them and then spray the fucking like into their face. And it's got like heaps of worms and everything.
Okay.
Like the main bad guy can fucking go into other folks' bodies when his one's dying, and he sprays it into them, and it's just heaps of worms all over them.
Okay. Well, I think it's definitely something I'm going to need to check out. It's apparently it's on Disney Plus, so
Oh, I might get up with it.
so I'll have to check that out. I've genuinely not heard it. It makes me wonder what's going to be in your top two now, because I know what your number three is. We'll move on to number threes. Obviously, you've already revealed your number three. Your number three is Hannibal.
Yeah.
We won't go over that again. So my number three. Now my number three again is a bit of an odd. I think it's maybe a little bit of an odd one. Not every episode of this is out and out horror. Again, not every some episodes are relatively removed from horror. There's some really good horror episodes, but I think the whole thing as a whole and its sort of portrayal of this sort of bizarre, this bizarre future that gets out there is all very sort of horror related. My number three is Black Mirror.
Yeah, it does have a lot of, like, it's more of a psychological horror.
Yeah. No,
A lot of it is, like, in your head and it's
it's
spooky.
not even that. I think a lot of it is the horror of technology, the
Yeah.
horror of other people, and the horror of like what people are capable of. You know, it's not just a case of, oh, spooky man in the bush is gonna try and kill you, or spooky creature is gonna try and kill you, or turn you into a vampire or whatever. A lot of it very much is psychological, and it is sort of like the horror of everyday life.
What's your favorite episode?
I really
Mine's is the polar bear one.
like, I've still not watched the most recent season.
So that, like, my favorite episode is the one where it's like the dame comes to, there's a wee polar bear teddy there, the fucking next thing you know, everyone's chasing them and right through. And she gets caught, and then you find out she's basically a child killer with somebody else, and this is her torture.
Yeah. I really liked the one that's like the video game simulation.
Oh yeah, for the two guys who caught each other in the video game.
Yeah, I really like that episode. Make it sound like that's why I like the episode. Thanks for that,
What's wrong, like? Oh, hello, Sheila. You okay there? And this is how Ian died.
Jesus Christ, you fucking killed me there, you cunt. But yeah, no, I think some of those episodes. I really like the episode as well with Daniel Kaluuya, where you know they have to like cycle for bits, and like he goes on to like the X Factor kind of thing. I really, really love that episode as well. I think that's a really, really well done episode.
I love that even for its love, your voice is quite shit. So
So
you
get
wanna
your
be a porn star?
tetsu.
You wanna be a
Yeah,
porn star?
that would be you. You'd definitely be that one at the judging table.
You've got the look that'll work in my movies.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's my number three. Do you want to go first with number twos? Because you announced your number three. Do you want me to just fire straight into my number two?
I go for it.
Okay, so my number two, and it's one that I only actually watched for the first time really relatively recently, but it's easily one of my favorite shows ever, and I've already rewatched it like three times. It's Ash versus the Evil Dead.
That's not even in my top
That's
five,
not in your
but
top five!
it was this close to being on
How
it.
can you not put Ash versus Evil Dead in your top five?
It was that or what we do in the shadows, because I'm like, I'm only include one comedy one. And I do prefer what we do in the shadows to Ash versus
Wow,
Evil Dead.
no, see, I don't at all. Ash versus the Evil Dead for me is just perfect. It's like the perfect balance, because like it's balls to the wall crazy, right? Just like those first like few movies, like the first three movies in the franchise, right? It's absolutely nuts. It's crazy, but because it's a TV show, and you know, like my favorite Evil Dead movie is Evil Dead, as we've discussed. Because it's a TV show, and you need to have like that linear plot that's going to last you for six, however many episodes you've got in a season, it has to just kind of rein it back in a little bit. Just a little bit from being like so crazy. Like Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness are absolutely fucking nuts from start
I
to
love
finish,
Army of Darkness. That's my favorite.
and they can get away with it because it's in movie form. But because this is TV, they just have to rein it back in, just that touch. But it's got Bruce Campbell just being
Bruce
himself,
Campbell,
just being
yeah.
himself, and
Loving life, basically.
literally. And you know, I just think as a TV show, it's everything I could possibly want from an Evil Dead show.
Yeah.
Like I there's literally I get that maybe if the humor's not for you, then fine, you're not gonna like Evil Dead, Ash versus Evil Dead. It is a unique sense of humor when it comes to these sorts of things, I think. But for me, it just is absolutely perfect, perfectly in line with the franchise, that
Yeah.
it just works so incredibly well, and I'm really, really gutted that we're not getting any more of it.
Like, I do agree with you, but see that last season? That last season, that's what made it drop out of my top five.
The last
Because the
season, there
last
was a lot of
season.
issues surrounding the last season, and that obviously
That's
is.
the only reason it wasn't there instead of what we do in the shadows, was the last season.
No, see, I still think it's I think it's far. I don't even think it's close between those two. I think Ash versus Evil Dead is so, and I'm really surprised, given how big an Evil Dead fan you are, how big an
Yeah.
Ash and Bruce Campbell fan you are,
Especially Bruce Campbell,
even
yeah.
in spite of that last season, because I still think that last season was decent.
It's all right, it just put me off though.
I'm really surprised that it's not made it into your top five.
Like, I know it sounds bad, but you know how most final seasons you're like, oh, I wish there was more. That last season made me go, yeah, they fucked it.
Okay.
That genuinely made me feel like you are perfect until then.
Okay, Nico, then. Go for your number two then.
So my number two is American Horror Stories.
Ah, now you see, American Horror Story was one that I was like, do I put it in? Do I not put it in? And I decided against putting it in. It's not in my top five.
See, I'm my favorite one's the hotel one, I'd say, but yeah.
Ah, no, yeah, now you see again, Hotel. So I've rewatched American Horror Story multiple times, and there's a couple of those seasons that I absolutely love. For me, my favorite's Asylum.
That's a close one up there, like.
My favorite's season two, and then probably after that, it's Freak Show.
Freak Show's good as well, yeah.
And
I love
obviously,
the fucking house, by the way, when we were at Universal Studios and did the Freak Show one. That was amazing, eh?
yeah, I'm sure that was fantastic. But for me, every time I'm do a rewatch, I get like three episodes into Hotel and then I completely fall off. I don't know what it
Really?
is about that season, but I just can't get through it. And I've tried to watch bits of other seasons beyond that, and like it's like my interest is totally gone. And I'm someone who was a really big American Horror Story fan. God, in the old show we had Naomi Grossman, who plays Pepper, on the show promoting one of our movies. You know, I'm a massive American Horror Story fan. For me, it peaked at Asylum, which is season two, and I never ever recaptured that. I watched Freak Show and I was like, yeah, okay, it got close to that. I really liked Coven as well, to be fair, because it had
Yeah, I was
cast.
just the way to say when Stevie Nicks' one was up there for me, like.
It wasn't Stevie Nicks that made, although it was great seeing Stevie Nicks. Kathy Bates is so fucking
Oh
funny in that
yeah,
season. Like, Kathy Bates is
100%.
one of the few, one of the only reasons that I got as far into Hotel as I did, but I just completely dropped off after that.
The Apocalypse one is weird though.
Again, like I've seen bits of seasons after that, but you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being unfair and not giving some of the other seasons a chance. But I've not heard great things about seasons after Hotel either, so I'm really not in like a super big hurry to go and watch them.
Well, remember how in all of them they were saying they're going to tie them all together?
Yeah.
That's what
I know they
happens
did
in the
that.
Apocalypse one.
I know
And
they
it's
did that.
fucking weird, eh?
Yeah.
It's really weird because you see folks that are playing different characters in
Yeah.
it. And that's fucking creepy.
They've obviously as well in the new late I think is it the latest season or the season before, they cast Kim Kardashian.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah. So there.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's your number. So time for number ones.
Yeah.
My number one was never in doubt. This was always my number one. Like, this was never not going to be my number one. For me, it's like absolutely my favorite horror TV show of all time. I can go and rewatch this at any point. I don't need to rewatch it in order. I can rewatch it literally from any point. There's movies attached to the franchise. For me, number one is The X-Files.
Decent,
Right.
decent.
It doesn't come close to me like that. I love everything else that's on that list, but there's a clear, definitive space in between the rest of that list and my number one. X-Files is so far out there for me. You can't see it because I've got a background on, but I have X-Files poster up behind me, and like I love that show so much from beginning to end. There's some really genuinely creepy episodes in there, like really
What's your favorite episode?
anything with Eugene Toombs is like my favorite, and that's right at the beginning as well. Like that's right at the start is the first episode with him. Like that's my number one episode. But there's so much fun episodes in there as well. Like they really did an incredibly good job at putting some levity and humor in there too, despite the fact that it's actually quite a serious show. I fucking love it.
See, my favorite one is that the one that's the guy who can dislocate his bones and creep through. Yeah, that's the one I
Yeah,
love.
that yeah, that's the same ones then. Yeah, so I absolutely adore it. I have done since I was young, but like it traumatized me when I was little. Don't get me wrong, when I was wee and I watched some of those episodes, there's an episode, I can't remember which one it is, where there's like a severed head and they're like weighing the severed head and it blinks. That fucking scared the shit out of me when I was a child. Like, I had to leave the room and go to my bed. But yeah,
it.
absolutely
I'm
love
not
it.
gonna lie, I did like X-Files as well, like.
But I'm assuming it's not on your list. So, Nico, what's your number one?
Mine's is American Gothic.
American Gothic. Why?
'Cause it was just, I don't know what it was about that show, but it's the same thing as you said with X-Files. I can go back and watch heaps of fucking shit with that. Like, it hooks you from the first two episodes,
Yeah.
where Marley gets fucking killed and you see Caleb getting like taken in and all that, his whole family just destroyed, and then you find out the sheriff's his actual father and everything in it. It's just, it had everything for me, like, and like. I'm not gonna lie, a southern accent does do it for me, so it's all good. But there's not anything bad about that show
Yeah.
at all. Like, I genuinely can't find anything wrong with
I
that
think
show.
that's it for me though when it comes to specifically with TV shows. It does apply to movies as well, but I think it applies slightly less to movies. Rewatchability is like a massive factor for me when it come into sort of picking this list. I had to pick stuff that I can go back and rewatch, and everything that's on this list I can go back and rewatch to
Yeah.
varying levels. You know, I don't think I would ever sit and go a complete rewatch of like Buffy, but I would definitely rewatch some episodes. Hannibal, I could go do a rewatch of. Black Mirror, I can pick and choose, you know, favorite episodes because they're so disconnected. The other one, the Black Mirror one, by the way, the other one that I really love, when he has to fuck the pig.
The fucking Prime Minister fucking the pig.
Yeah.
I
Ash versus the
forgot
Evil
about that.
Dead, I can watch on repeat over and over again. Like, I can watch that from start to finish, right over again. And the X-Files, despite the fact there's hundreds, like, X-Files is a ma- like, if you're gonna rewatch the X-Files, it's a massive undertaking. Like, there's a lot of content there. I could rewatch the X-Files over and over again. So that's a big thing for me, and obviously a big thing for you too.
But yeah, no, definitely the rewatchability, because, well, there's nothing I haven't picked that I can't rewatch, put it that way.
Yeah. I think that's for me, that's probably what took me out of American Horror Story, putting it in. I can rewatch a couple of the seasons, but like after that, it's just like, I can't even rewatch Murder House. I don't even like Murder House that much. And that's like
Really?
season one.
Shit.
Anyways, so that's our top five horror TV shows. I had planned on us like being a bit quicker going through those. We've taken up quite a bit of time. So we'll move on. We'll go through the top five horror movies. We'll kind of fire through this a little bit because I feel like we've probably discussed this already over the course of the previous 99 episodes.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first for top five horror films, or do you want me to go first again?
I'll go first.
Okay, so pick your number
Child's Play is
five.
at 5. Child's Play is
Oh,
at
the
number 5.
2019 version. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, suck a dick. No, not that piece of shit.
The
Not
1988 original.
yes, that's the one. Not the
What?
Ghost in the Shell
Why?
bullshit.
Why the first one? And or well, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. And not the second one, because I think we both rate the second one higher.
Yeah, right. So I recently rewatched it,
The second one or the first one?
first one, and I forgot how good it was. Like, it just, you're instantly brought back to your childhood watching it, and I fucking loved it. It's
I think
that's the only way of describing it. It's just it instantly. Don't get me wrong, I was tempted to put the second one in there,
yeah.
but. It's just, I think it's because I rewatched it recently, and that's why.
The thing as well is it's Brad Dourif's performance as well, isn't it? Like
Yeah.
he's among a very select group of people who has essentially made a horror character their own. And he's not even on screen for any of it. You know, I think we talked about it again during our award show for Robert Englund. You know, how he made Freddy Krueger, and Freddy Krueger would never have been anything without Robert Englund, and how, you know, they've now tried to have someone else in the role and it didn't quite work. I don't think you can really have anyone other than Brad Dourif be Chucky.
Yeah,
Like, that is.
because he, like, even with the whole when he's possessing the doll and everything, when you actually see it, even that bit is just brilliant.
Although I did think Mark Hamill did an okay job.
Like,
Yeah, I'm just teasing you, Nico. I'm just teasing you.
Just why?
Okay, so Child's Play in at your number five, right? So yeah. When I picked my number five, I didn't pick what I necessarily thought was the best five movies. I think I picked what was my personal enjoyment level of those movies were.
Yeah,
and again, rewatchability. So for me at number five, it's Candyman.
Nice.
I think another role that, you know, Tony Todd has, you know, he made it so iconic. And I think, you know, we've covered Candyman, right? We covered Candyman, yeah. Everything about that movie for me is so perfect. You know, the score is incredible in that movie. You know, it's a really great story. There's some really great scares. The performances, the acting from everyone involved. Like, I just think there's so little wrong with that movie. And I actually really like the reboot that they did, or the requel that they did a couple of years ago. I actually thought that was really good as well. I would have liked for us to get more, but I'm not sure how likely that is to happen anytime soon. But for me, that original is just like, there's so little that I could actually nitpick at that. Even if I'm being nitpicky, I can't really find much to nitpick at. So for me, it's definitely a top five movie.
Sorry, but Kat's going mental in the corner. It just distracted me for a moment.
Oh dear. Okay. Well, whilst we should move on to number fours, Nico. Do you need me to do my one while you're being distracted?
Yeah, because I'm trying to see. I might have to stop for a second. Just try to eat something. That's what it is. Okay. 2 seconds. Sorry.
Well, I'll fill for time.
Cool.
Right, guys. Nico's a dick. Little does he
I'm
know.
Still on the screen.
He's not making it to 102.
Fuck's sake, Shira. Fucking big, massive fucking thread. She's trying to eat and she nearly fucking swallowed.
Oh, Nico, you like swallowing.
You alright now?
I'm fine.
Good. Didn't know you swallowed something as well. Right, anyway. Sorry about that.
Okay, we're back. Okay, Nico, so I'll take over then. So for my number four, number four horror movie of all time, I actually rewatched this just a couple of weeks ago. It's one of my all-time favorites. It's Hellraiser.
Yeah, I thought you'd have that.
Hellraiser for me, it's like, it's just, it's so unique, and Doug Bradley specifically does such an incredible job with so little screen time, and it's so quintessentially Clive Barker as well. Like, he took his own vision and he really put it out there on the screen and how he wanted it, and the use of color and makeup and this and score and just everything attached to that is I know, again, and it's very similar to your sort of Child's Play point, because I think I don't think we've done the second one yet on this show, but I know I've definitely reviewed the first one and second one on other shows and things, and the general consensus is that the second one is ever so slightly a better movie.
Yeah.
But this is the standard bearer. This is the flag bearer for the franchise. This set the standard. And yeah, okay, I think they possibly did. It's very arguable about whether or not that second movie is really better than this one or not, but it's so fucking tight. For me, Hellraiser is just an absolute perfection, and it's one that I rewatch probably every few months, so it definitely has to be Hellraiser for me.
Yeah. It is up there. It's a really good movie. Yeah. But I would say the second one's slightly better.
Yeah. Okay, Nico, your number four?
My number four is... Why am I even looking at a list? I know what it is. It is... Fuck, I said Exorcist. Why did I not say Exorcist there? I was like... I got all tongue-tied.
Oh,
funnily enough, like in the movie, we hit the last time. But no, Exorcist, sorry.
Yeah, Exorcist, I mean, it's widely considered one of the scariest movies of all time.
Yeah, and because we went through the house as well at Universal when it was on at the horror, and Zeta decided to break my whole fucking hand, it's always got a special place in my heart.
Was it scary?
So, there's multiple bits where they've got an actor on the bed. And you've got to walk around. There's one bit where you've got to walk around the bed where she's tied onto it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we start walking around, and our couple came in, and she jump scared them. And see, I had my arm hanging over Zeta like that. And she was holding the two fingers with either hand. So basically, she's holding my hand like that, like a Star Trek sign. And she jumped from scaring those two to being right in Zeta's face. And Zeta just went pop and pulled her hands separate because she got a scare. And you just heard my hand go pop with it. And I'm like, fuck, you've dislocated my knuckles. She's like, no, I haven't. I'm like, yeah, you have. She's like, shit. So yeah, it's because that is attached to it as well. It's always got a special place in my heart.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, no one's going to argue with you that The Exorcist doesn't deserve a spot in that top five. It's not in my
Yeah.
top five, but like, it's one of those movies, isn't it, that is just unarguably one of the greatest horror movies of all time. So yeah, that's absolutely, I understand that totally. Right, number three. My number three, Nico, is the movie that currently sits at number one on our leaderboard.
Okay.
It came very, very close to being dislodged by another movie we did relatively recently, but it's still just about hanging on in there. It is Alien. For me, Alien and the movie at my number two, which I'll obviously tell at my number two, there is just an absolute masterclass of sort of claustrophobia and tension building in horror. And I don't think, barring the next movie on my list, I don't think anything else actually comes close to doing it like Alien. You know,
Yeah.
we've talked about Alien and the franchise, and I'm sure we'll talk about it again, but Alien for me is this, like, it's in terms of pure horror, it's absolute perfection.
Yeah, I thought you'd have that there.
Yeah. Okay, Nico, you're number three.
There
We're
you
kind of
go.
firing through them now because this the...
You're gonna be surprised at what my number three
Is it the Lost Boys?
No,
I would
it
be
is night.
surprised about that. What's your number three?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
First one.
Yep.
Okay, well, it's funny because I really toyed with putting Dream Warriors in here.
See, that was the thing. I didn't want to repeat because that was the only thing that could have probably broken my top five, really,
Yeah.
was Dream Warriors. So I didn't want to hit two
Elm
of the same
Street.
franchise there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get that. I get that. But why first one then?
It's just. It's Freddy in it, just the way he is. He's serious in that one and he's terrifying. And I think if they didn't play it like that, you wouldn't have managed to hear him funny later on. You know what I mean?
I think the thing, yeah, I think it's tonally so different to the rest of the franchise, isn't it? Because he still has like his funny moments and he still has like some one-liners, but
Yeah.
you know, when you compare it to things like Dream Warriors, for example, you know, it's night and day. He's such so much more of a serious character.
I think it works in the later movies because you've seen the first one and he's terrifying in the first one. So in the back of your head, you know he's funny because he can back it up.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you can accept that he's gone slightly more comedic because you know what he's capable of.
Exactly. And I think that's why I prefer the first one.
No, I get that. And listen, the first one again is part of the sort of zeitgeist of horror, isn't it? That first Elm Street, you know,
And
again,
that whole. The blood bed thing, you know,
the
getting
bloodbed,
sucked in.
you know,
Who
Tina.
doesn't fucking get scared with that
Or
bit?
Tina, you know, getting killed on the ceiling. Like, it's got some
Yeah.
really, really iconic moments in it. So yeah, Elm Street is definitely one that deserves to be mentioned. And I think it's still very highly rated. I think it's still in our top 10 as well. I mean, I think it's in 10th, but it's still in our top 10.
So it'll be going soon then.
Maybe. You never know.
Well, you said there's changes to the top and the bottom, so it'll
I
be going
did. I
soon.
did. Who's to say that there? Who's to say that it's not that that's not going up?
Did you just now?
No. Anyways, so on to the number twos, and I think from here you probably know what my next two are. I know what your number one is. I'm not sure what you're putting it.
Do you know what my number
If
one
it's
is?
not, what I think it is, Nico, then you've been living a lie this entire podcast.
It's not what you think it is.
Oh, fuck me. Anyways, number two. My number two, again, is like, An absolute quintessential
Lost Boys.
masterclass in, it's not the Lost Boys, is absolute masterclass in tension building and claustrophobia. And it, for me, it just does it ever so slightly better than Alien, I think. It's a totally different kind of movie, but with still being within the sort of same subgenre of horror at the same time as well. It's got fantastic performances. It's got a great cast. It has so much layers to it. It's John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah,
I
I was
think.
actually expecting you to have that at number one.
Really? That would be bizarre and very out of character for me.
Because like sometimes you'll chop and change between Halloween and that when you see
I
it.
never chop and change, Nico. I always outright state that The Thing is my second favorite horror movie of all time.
Okay.
But yeah, like it's just all of those things and more. It's the closest thing, I think. I think The Thing is a better movie than Halloween.
Yeah.
But I love Halloween more. Kind of giving away my number one.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone who's listened to this podcast before, I don't think that's any surprise to anyone. But
I thought you would have had them two the other way around.
oh well. Well, no, there you go. The Thing at number two for me. So Nico, what's your number two?
Lost Boys. Lost Boys.
What?
You heard me.
What?
The Lost Boys
Do
is in number
doth
two.
doth my ears deceive me?
I love Lost Boys. I am a big
Do
advocate for recommending Lost Boys for everything. I think it is the perfect quintessential 80s horror movie. I genuinely cannot go on about it enough.
Okay.
I love that movie.
Okay.
But I recently rewatched my number one and fell in love with it again, and I've watched it about six times
My
since I've
God.
fucking rewatched
Is it
it.
Lost Boys the
And I
Tribe?
no, it's not. So my number one has to go in number one because I've watched it so much recently.
Okay.
Like, it's fucking disturbing how much I'm watching it, and I forgot how good it was. And like, it was always up there for me, but it's just there now, you know what I mean?
Okay. Well, that's a surprise. That's definitely a surprise for me. Okay, number ones then. No surprises then. My number one is the original Halloween. I
Yep.
don't know why you thought I'd swap them around. I've literally always stated that Halloween's my number one horror movie of all time. I think it's sheer perfection. It's like everything going for it. You know, it's Michael Myers, maybe barring the 2018 version. I think it's where, or maybe the Rob Zombie version, but they're not great movies. It's Mike Myers at his most menacing, at his most brutal, at his sneakiest, at his cleverest. I just think it's perfect. It is, you know, it's got everything you need from a Halloween movie. It doesn't have that convoluted, you know, brother sister storyline in there that for me takes away from the scariness factor for Michael Myers. It's a home invasion movie, and as far as you're aware, in that movie, it's just a man in a mask. There's no real
Yeah.
supernatural element to it. It's just a man who's pretty strong in a mask, and that to me is terrifying. You know, the fact that it's just someone in a mask who going around a village, going around a town, just killing people off randomly is far more scary than anything else that they came up with in the rest of the franchise, and it's just sheer perfection. And it probably, I think, has the most iconic score of horror movies of all time.
Okay. I would say, yeah. That's understandable.
Yeah. It's understandable, but you disagree. Is that what you're saying?
I like Halloween, you know that, but it didn't make anywhere near my top
No,
five.
I didn't think it would. But what's your number one then? I want to know.
Well, what do you think it is?
I don't know. I'm genuinely. I thought it was. I would have put my house on it being the Lost Boys.
It's only because of how much I've been watching it recently, and I've got it in the background right now on my TV. It is Aliens. It is
Okay.
genuinely. I forgot how good this movie was.
Is it? We should probably just announce now instead of the end of the episode that our first horror movie review of 2024 is going to be on Aliens.
Wonder what my score is going to be. Anyway,
Yeah, Aliens. Go for it.
there is nothing at fault with this movie. It is the quintessential. Better than the first one as well. Like when you're talking about the Alien franchise, this is above and beyond the best one. It puts, like, do not get me wrong, the first one is great. It is a perfect 10 movie. But to have two movies in your franchise that are well respected and done. There's not a lot of franchises like that.
A perfect 10 movie, the first one you said, that you rated 8.5, Nico.
Right.
Is that going to be in your re-ranking?
Maybe. Might have done two spoilers, have I? Anyway.
Wow.
You're dying again.
I'm truly dying. Apologies, guys. I've got a really terrible cough that I've had now for about 7 weeks. So apologies if you've had to listen to me. So there we go. That's our top fives. Honestly, I expected this segment to last about 20 minutes. We've lasted 50 minutes on
Because we're
this.
enjoying ourselves, it's a
So
problem,
there's our top fives for TV and horror movies. Again, that doesn't necessarily going to reflect scores that we do in the future, though, because again, this is purely based on our enjoyment. It's not necessarily the movies that we think are technically the best movies. Although, like, I don't think anyone's going to argue about, Aliens and The Thing and Halloween and The Exorcist being like the tippity top of horror. So I don't think
Lost
that's.
Boys, Lost Boys,
No.
Lost Boys.
And, Candyman and Hellraiser
Lost Boys.
and Alien and. All those things being at the tippity top of horror.
And Lost Boys. Say it. Say it.
I can't.
Say it.
It's not in our top 10 anymore. It's actually it's all the way down in 12th place.
It's an amazing movie. You're all wrong, Nico.
Yeah.
It's my
Okay. Shall
favorite.
we move on then, Nico? Do you want to do some Q&A?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so we threw it out to you guys, our listeners, our followers across the social media, asked you guys to chuck us some questions. Some of them are horror related, some of them are not horror related. Nico doesn't know any of these. I've got four,
Oh
five, I
God.
think I've got 10 questions for us to go through. I cherry picked sort of 10 questions. So we'll start off with this one's from Boomer. Are you and Nico really friends?
Dick.
This has only become a question because I literally went and guessed it on another podcast. I think it was the You Run podcast, which is a great show. And everyone should go check that out. I went and guessed it on the You Run podcast, and we reviewed, I think it was Dr. Sleep who reviewed on
Oh,
that show.
Jesus.
And Scott, the guy who hosts that show and runs that show, actually genuinely asked me like if we were actually friends because of the sheer ferocity of arguments that me and you have on that. And I'm gonna throw our second question in there at the same time because it kind of makes my point. What movie caused the most disagreement while rating? Now,
We even disagree on
well, we kind
that.
of do, because up until very, very recently, I would have said it was either Doctor Sleep or the Child's Play remake, going all the way back into those very, very first few episodes that we did. But
Yeah.
this Christmas for me, the Christmas spirit well and truly was dead because I don't think we've ever had an argument quite as big as the one we had whilst reviewing It's a Wonderful Life. Nico, I almost walked off the episode.
I got called a Grinch for
Did you? Good. Fucking good. Because you're a miserable bastard.
It's not my fault our angel gaslighted somebody.
So anyway, Nico, are we really friends?
No, we actually just do this for sheer entertainment. Ian's just a total wanker. I just hate him. He's just a bald bitch.
You know what? The worst part is, he's not wrong.
No, we are actually friends. We used to work with each other as well.
We've
It
been
was
friends now
great fun.
for quite a number of years.
Yeah.
I think we must be totaling on what, like 7, 8 years?
They finally got rid of the fridge, by the way.
Hello.
That's a wee in joke there, by
Wow. That's
the
well, that's a that's like that's years in the making as well.
Yeah.
No,
Do you remember how that fridge got ruined?
yes, I do. I very much do.
This is how much friends we were. We were launching ice cubes at each other as hard as we could.
And someone broke a fridge.
It wasn't me, and it wasn't you.
No, it
It was the
wasn't.
third man there.
But yeah, no, our friendship, we have been friends now for about 7 to 8 years. I can't remember exactly how many years it is. But we've worked together, we've drunk together, and we've podcasted together. And we're very, very firm friends. We shout and scream at each other during this podcast, and we like to make each other very, very annoyed. But we are
That
apps.
Chris time when I was very, very drunk, you came running out of your work and said, "Happy New Year."
Exactly. There you go. See? What do you think then has caused the most disagreement for us?
I would have said it was Child's Play.
You
Would have
think it was the
said that.
Child's Play remake?
But you said about the Christmas episode, you might be right.
Am I? No, I am right.
Hi.
Much like most of our reviews, Nico, I am
Because
right.
you looked like you wanted to stop
I was so
me.
pissed that I don't think you've never pissed me off. And I like you did in that episode. I think the thing was, in both Doctor Sleep and Child's Play, I went into those knowing that we were going to have a big disagreement. We'd kind of talked about those ones before we came on air, that we massively disagreed with that. But I de genuinely didn't expect that for It's a Wonderful Life. And you hated it so much.
Yes.
Like, it was one
Like,
thing. I could have
it's a
accepted you
good
to.
movie, but it's just I
You could have
hate
fucking said
the.
that during the episode.
I did say
You
I
fucking did
said
not.
it's I gave it a decent enough score for what I thought it was, but it's the whole concept of It's a Wonderful Life that gets me. I just hate it.
You can't get with it, can you?
Nah,
We're not
I just
discussing
hate
it
it.
again. We're not discussing it again.
I'm just saying.
Okay, we'll go on to our next question then, Nico. What was the hardest movie for you to rate?
Hardest for me to rate.
And I think this is quite a tricky question as well, because there's been a lot of movies out there that we've liked or disliked, but we can appreciate like the kind of impact it's had,
Probably
or
rubber for me.
rubber for you. Okay, and that's not a difficult one for you to pick at all.
Because it was a weird fucking movie, yeah.
There has been quite a few movies I think it's been difficult to rate. You rated Rubber a 5.5. I didn't find that a difficult movie to rate at all. I'd give it a flat out 2.
Yeah, because it's like, it comes to me as either it's just sheer genius or absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And I chop and change of what I think about it, which is decent for a movie to do.
Well, whereas I came very much down on the side of it's
It's
shit.
shit, yeah.
Fair dues. I think for me, the most difficult, and it's actually probably not what you'd expect.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Troll 2.
Really?
Because I rated Troll 2 a 0, right? But it's like,
You now like it, do you?
no, I've always liked it. I liked it even during the episode, but it's absolute fucking shit. It's the
It's
biggest
awful.
Pile of shit you'll ever see. But like, I kind of appreciate it. Like, it was so difficult for me to give it a 0. Like, so difficult.
You just want to piss on a table, do you?
Who says I haven't, Nico? So that was a tough one for me.
Last Christmas night out, yeah, just.
What was the last movie? And probably going back a number of years, Nico. What was the last movie to scare you? The next question.
Last one to scare me.
Like,
Fuck.
genuinely scare you.
I genuinely kind of think, That's a hard one,
For
because.
me, the last movie to like genuinely scare me, and it goes back to when I was a child, because we're adults now, Nico.
Yeah.
It goes back to when I was a child. I think I was maybe 10 or 11. And it's a movie that I will never ever review on the show because the director's a paedophile, but Jeepers Creepers scared the fucking shit out of me when I was a child.
See, I never, it never really got me that one, you know what I mean?
No, I
So.
get that. That's fine. But for me, like, because you're obviously like older when it came out as well.
Yeah.
But I think I was just at like that perfect age where that movie just scared the shit out of me.
Yeah. Try to think of what truly fucking scared me. There was the last one I can think of. I remember I was a teenager and I can't remember the name of the movie, and it's collecting skin, and it was like this fucking thing is the only way of fucking talking about it, because it was like this creature you always just saw it in the background, And then it would kill somebody and skin them, but you never saw it being skinned. You always saw the bodies after they'd been skinned.
Yeah.
And it was like a cheesy B movie, but there was a few really tense bits in there. Like, it was basically just stealing the idea of Alien, where you can't see the alien that much, you
Yeah.
know? And it was the same thing. And that one was quite, it really got me. I can't mind the name of it. I think that was the last one that really scared me.
Okay.
But I was like a late teen.
All right, yeah. I think for all of us, it was sort of like early to mid-teens, wasn't it? Like late teens.
Like, if you're talking like a jump scare, fucking that happens. That
Oh,
still
that still
happens in some
happens
movies.
like all the time. Like a jump scare is not a movie that, but I'm talking about a last, like a concept, a actual movie that scared you.
Yeah, because
Yeah.
that one, literally, that's the last time I ever watched a horror movie where that night I was in my bed going, yeah, I'm up. I'm going through the living room to watch TV. It was like that was the last time that it was that creepy. It kept me up at night.
Yeah. Okay.
And I genuinely can't remember the name of
Well,
that.
it might come to you as we go through.
If any of the viewers know what the fuck it was called, please tell me.
What is the most boring horror film you've seen?
Most boring.
I'm gonna fire out straight here because I know what my answer is. It's not one we've covered on this show, but we have talked about it before and previously. It's Slender Man.
Yes, I'll agree with you on that one actually.
It was, and I think what pissed me off with that is because like I was a big fan of the lore of Slender Man, and you know there's a couple of relatively decent video games that had come out around Slender Man, and they fucked that movie up so horrendously bad. I know there was external factors involved, obviously like the real life killings of like a child and people worshipping Slender Man. I know there was external factors involved, but that, fuck me, that movie is fucking dog shit. And not interesting dog shit. Like it just it's so dull. It doesn't make any fucking sense. It's not scary. It's such a letdown. So that's that's my that goes for me.
I was struggling for a second to think of a fucking boring one, but yeah, I think you've
You just
got it right on the nail there.
okay.
Because I'll agree with everything you said there. It was fucking awful.
Yeah. Okay. Most frustrating part of podcasting.
Having the time to fucking do it.
Yeah, I think for me, it might not have been my answer, you know, a year ago, but I think given like the 4 or 5 months that we've just had, probably just trying to keep on with a schedule for us has been the really most frustrating part. I don't think I've ever. There's obviously, you know, sometimes we'll record an episode, and sometimes I'll know straight off the bat, you know what, that was, we did a really good episode there, and there'll be times where I'm maybe like, and I'm sure you're the same, where you're like, ah, that wasn't like such a great episode, but you know, that's always gonna happen. It's gonna happen no matter what type of show and what shows you're doing. But for me, like just keeping scheduling there. Social media for me is a big frustrating part. You know, it's really trying to keep up with it, trying to make sure that you're still relevant, trying to, you know, keep your profiles growing, because ultimately I think social media is the way that you're gonna get new listeners and new viewers. That's another part for me that's been really frustrating this year, but scheduling for me is definitely the number one. Okay, Nico,
I
what?
100%
Yeah.
scheduling for me as well, because yeah, like you said, previous few months has just been fucking shite.
Yeah. Nico, what's your biggest fear?
I'm one of them folk that tries to find it. I've never found it.
Yeah. I'm similar. Like I like if you I go through like all the sort of like bog standard fears. I'm not a particularly big fan of creepy crawlies, but I'm also not like terrified of them. Like I'll still catch a spider in the house, you know. I'm not particular. I'm not afraid of heights. I don't have claustrophobia. Like, I'm not scared of flying or swimming or like. I just genuinely don't have any of your sort of big fears. Maybe it's just a case that I haven't found it yet.
See, I used to think I was claustrophobic, but then my mate had a coffin in his house and I got in it and I actually felt quite calm and
You're quite
jealous.
comfy.
So I was like, I'm not claustrophobic. I always thought I was claustrophobic. So it must have been something from my childhood that made me think it.
Yeah.
And then I realised I wasn't.
That's good. So no, like it's just I'm sure there's been times where stuff's happened when I was again younger and I have been scared of certain things, but I wouldn't put it down as being a fear. And now like I'm perfectly fine with most of that. So yeah, I don't think there's what I don't think I can really pinpoint one. Listen to me and you sounding like pure hard cunts.
No, it's nay sounding like a hard cunt. Sometimes folk that find their fear, and a lot of people are like, "Oh, you're just acting hard." No, genuinely, you that find it. Like folks say about heights. I remember when I was a teenager, went to the Gordon Highlander open day, and they used to have a zip line that went up there.
Yeah, I remember.
The boy lifted the barrier at the wrong time, and I was hanging over the side, not attached to anything. And you could see folks' faces below us fucking shitting a brick because they thought it was what I thought off the top. And I'm like, yep, heights don't bother me.
Yeah. No,
So,
same,
yeah.
same.
So,
Okay.
yeah, it was shit like that, you know.
Fair dues, fair dues. Okay. Worst found footage movie.
Worst.
Worst.
Blair Witch Project.
I don't know. Like, there's tons of found footage movies out there that I've not seen.
Out of the ones
So,
I've seen, definitely Blair Witch.
I find this actually quite tricky. I'm gonna probably go a little left field with this, and I'm gonna say out of like ones I've seen and my personal enjoyment of them, Cloverfield.
What, you think that's the worst one?
Yeah, I hate it. I hate Cloverfield.
I liked Cloverfield.
No, I was not a fan of it at all. I
I did.
really like 10 Cloverfield Lane. That's obviously not a,
Yeah.
it's obviously not a found footage movie, but yeah, I'll go for Cloverfield just to be a bit left field.
I liked it. I thought it was very intriguing, the concept of it and everything. Say
Yeah.
not the worst one in that franchise, that Paradox one. You seen that?
I haven't brought myself to watch it.
Don't. It's avoid it like the plague.
Fair dues. Okay, a couple more questions. What subgenre of horror needs to make a comeback? What subgenre deserves more attention?
I do like my comedy horrors. I don't think they get enough.
I agree with you. I don't think comedy horrors get the attempt like the praise that they sometimes deserve.
Yeah.
I've had like because obviously like if you go through our leaderboard, you know, there's comedy horrors pretty high up in our leaderboard. We've got currently Tucker and Dale versus Evil in seventh. We've got Dog Soldiers in eighth. And I
Yeah.
think purely because they're comedy, people like I've said to us, oh, they don't deserve to be that high up there.
Fucking totally
You know,
do
and then when you think like if you go further down, you know, Cabin in the Woods is pretty high up for us, Zombieland's relatively high up for us. You know, there's comedy horrors up there. And I think I
a lot
agree.
of people are pretentious about it.
I
A lot of
think
people
yeah.
are, yeah.
People do tend to sort of gatekeep horror from comedy, and
Yeah.
I think there's huge value in those movies. One of my favorite horror movies of all time, and it's, you know, again, it was very close to making it into my top five there earlier on, is Shaun of the Dead, which
Yeah.
I think is like just absolutely, in terms of horror comedy, I think that is the bar, you know? And
Yeah, I get
I would easily have that in the in our top 10, you know? So
and our next top five is horror comedies.
but I think in terms of deserving more attention, I think horror comedy probably deserving more positive attention. S
Yeah,
certainly.
because
I don't think it
it's been a
necessarily needs
while
to
since
make.
there's been a good one.
It's been
That's
a
what I
while since it's
mean.
been a good one. It's a different. It's probably the most difficult genre, I think, subgenre to do.
Yeah. Because, like you mentioned, Zombieland.
Yeah.
I remember they tried to do a TV show with that, and I thought
Yeah.
this is going to be fucking brilliant, and it
Yeah.
was just abysmal. And that has the idea of being a great TV show.
100%. Okay, last question. It's not podcast or horror related. Nico, what is your favorite music genre and your favorite albums?
I know this sounds bad, but it's whatever I'm not DJing. Because I DJ as well, so I do every type of DJing, and I tend, like, if I'm doing a rock night or a metal night or anything like that, I'll be listening to fucking ABBA at home,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? And then if I'm doing chart and cheese, I'll be listening to sometimes even classical
Yeah.
at home. So it genuinely is, I have a very eclectic taste,
Yeah.
and if you give me a genre, I can give you top ones, but I
Yeah.
like most types of music.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. Like, I'm obviously like, you've DJed a lot longer than I have, but I definitely feel you there, you know.
Do you get what I mean though when
Oh,
I said you'd
100%.
listen to the
Oh,
opposite when you got home?
100%. I still have like my favorite my fa more favorite subgenre like genres. I grew up as like a pop punk guy. That's definitely my sort of bag. Probably pop punk into rock. But you know, I love a bit of pop as well, to be honest with you. I love a good catchy tune. I love some 80s music. I love going back. I love 60s music as well. You know, I like sometimes when I'm out and I'm on a night out, I like a bit of techno and I like a bit of house and you know, I like some drum and bass. So like I wouldn't say like probably if I had to pick a genre, I would probably pick pop punk. But my
Yeah,
music.
but it's like,
What about like albums? Well, let's change the thing. Are there any albums out there that you just consider like perfection?
so I grew up indie based and dance based and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So if you just take those two, for example, I'd say Sash is probably what got one of the best, like, mixed in his greatest hits.
Yeah.
The way he does it, he genuinely does do the sinusoidal wave for a minute. He
Yeah.
starts off high, slows it down, brings it back up, and you can listen to that on repeat. On the flip side of that, I also grew up, one of my first concerts was Oasis. So, like everybody says, definitely maybe he's better, but I prefer What's the Story. So yeah, it's all that sort of thing,
I'm
yeah.
going to throw in a question that's my question. This isn't a question of something. In terms of like bands and acts, who are like the most overrated for you? Because you mentioned Oasis there, and I just think Oasis are one of the most overrated
Aye.
acts out there. There's two for me. It's Oasis and the Beatles. I think they're the two most overrated acts in
Aye,
music.
well, one pretty much is a cover band of the other, but they did it better, I think. Yeah, you would have never had Oasis if it wasn't for the Beatles. You
Yeah, of
can hear it
course.
all through their music. So if you don't like one, you don't like the other. I understand that. But
Blur were
saying that,
better. Sorry, Blur were better.
Blur were more your. If you said you like Blur, you were normally chatting to a girl. Is the easy way of putting it, because I grew up with that. You know what I mean? And that,
It's like you've not met me, Nico.
and that's why folk used to say that, because it was like all the girls like Blur, all the guys like the Oasis, or the, that was just the way it was, you know. But yeah, overrated. Can't think. White Stripes.
Ooh.
I think they're quite overrated. They've got about four or five decent songs, and then everyone thinks the sun shines out their arse.
I mean, you think of White Stripes, it's just Seven Nation Army most people go for, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking my one for you then is what's your underrated one?
What band or act?
Acts that were fucking, or bands, or anything like that, music related.
I think it's really difficult to pick like an under because like all my favorites are like either super popular or ones that have a ceiling. So like in terms of
Yeah.
like pop punk, like the band I've got, or not even just pop punk, but just punk and rock in general, the band that I've seen the most is Twin Atlantic, right? I've seen them live 9 times. I'll go and see them as many times as you want, but I think they have a ceiling. I don't necessarily think they're underrated, even though they're my absolute favorite. You get what I'm
Yeah.
saying? Like
I know exactly what you're seeing.
I don't know, underrated. I think underrated, that's such a difficult one.
See, for me, it would be folk like Blink 182 were underrated.
You think?
Yeah, like some of their songs are really, really good, especially if you listen to their albums.
I just would never
But
class them as being
everyone just
underrated.
remembers their fucking bouncy, bouncy songs, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would never like I love Blink 182. I would never class them as being like underrated.
I'm just using that as an example, but
Yeah.
yeah, they a lot of their quieter, slower stuff is really well thought out and done
Yeah.
pretty good for fucking what they were doing at the time. And folk don't see that, you know?
I could definitely go with that. I'll maybe have a wee think about that one and see if I can come back to you with an answer before the end of the episode. But that's it for the Q&A section just now. So thank you to everyone for submitting questions. We'd really appreciate it. Again, as we go through, you know, we'll probably do another Q&A session at some point. But that just leaves the final section of this 100th episode spectacular, Nico. And it's the one I think I know a lot of people have been listening to. A lot of our fellow podcasters have really been like excited to hear this section. It's our re-ranking section, Nico. So we've both picked three movies that we've either thought we've been a bit too generous to or not generous enough to, and we're gonna just alter the scores. Before we do our movies, I'm gonna run through some of the changes. There's a lot of changes, but most of the changes
Is this
to
the IMDb one?
this, so this is I've went through every single movie we reviewed, and I've updated their IMDb score, their Metacritic score, and their Rotten Tomatoes scores, because these are obviously subject to change. There's changes on a couple. A couple of them are really, really minor. There's changes on quite a lot, actually, sorry, but most of them are really minor. A couple of them have got more significant changes. So I'm going to quickly run through a lot of these. So just bear with me, because it is a big change. So, for example, Aliens IMDb score has gone up from an 8.4 to an 8.5.
Aliens.
Alien.
I thought you said aliens.
No,
Yeah, I was like, they've
Alien
not done it
has gone up
yet.
from an 8.4 to an 8.5. Reanimators, critics, Rotten Tomatoes critics score has gone up from 93% to 94%. The Omens Rotten Tomatoes critics score has gone down from 86% to 84%. A Nightmare on Elm Street has gone up from 94 to 95%, with its IMDb going down from 7.5 to 7.4.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
The Shining's Rotten Tomato critic score has dropped from 85% to 83%. The Lost Boys Rotten Tomatoes critic scores has gone up from 76% to 77%, but its IMDb score has dropped from 7.3 to 7.2.
Ooh.
Hereditary's Rotten Tomatoes audience score has gone up from 69% to 70%. Near Dark's critic score has gone up by 1%. Its Metacritic score has gone up by 2 points from a 7.6 to a 7.8, and it's dropped 1 point on IMDb. American Psycho has dropped a percentage point on its Rotten Tomatoes critic score. Prey, quite big changes for Prey actually. Its Rotten Tomatoes critic score has gone up from a 92% to a 94%. Good, we love that movie. But its audience score has dropped from 79% to 73%.
Shit.
Quite a big drop there. And it's also dropped a
Yeah.
point on its IMDb score. So actually, overall, that drops it. It's the first of all those movies, it's the first movie to actually drop it in terms of its points. It's dropped from an 8 overall to a 7.9.
Right.
Which I think's harsh. We like Prey.
Yeah.
X has dropped a critic's point. They Live has gained a point on both its Rotten Tomatoes critics and its Rotten Tomatoes audience score. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Metacritic score, huge change. It's gone from a 7.8 to an 8.8. It's gone up an entire point. We've got Evil Dead Rise. It's dropped a percentage point on its IMDb score. Cube has dropped a percentage point on its IMDb score and its critic score.
Surprise at that one, that's a
Yep.
good movie.
Army of Darkness, Nico. Its Rotten Tomatoes critic scores went from 75% to 68%.
Fuck off.
Big drop in score there. Gremlins has gone from 85% to 86%. So you can see how this is all happening. So what I'm going to do, because it's going to take me forever to go through all of these, so I'm
Yeah.
going to just tell you the movies whose
Tell us the ones that's moved. That's probably easiest.
its overall score has changed. Okay, so as I said there, Prey dropped from an 8 to a 7.9. Texas Chainsaw Massacre went from a 7.9 to a 7.8. Army of Darkness has dropped to a 7.6. Scream has gained a point, is now a 7.6 from a 7.5. Child's
Right.
Play, your number five movie, has gone from a 7.1 to a 7.2. Krampus has went from a 6.9 to a 6.8. A big change in their IMDb score has seen that drop a point. Event Horizon has gone from a 6.8 to a 6.9, and I think we can both agree that's well deserved, Nico.
Yeah.
That was because when we did that movie, when we But first did that movie, it had a Rotten Tomatoes critic score of 28%, which is ridiculous. It now has a Rotten Tomatoes critic score of 33%, which is still ridiculous, but at least it's going in the right direction. The Special movie that we covered with the director B. Harrison Smith has gained a point, so it's went from a 6.8 to a 6.9. The Faculty has gained a point, so it's now a 6.8. Both were 6.6s, but are now 6.7s. Hocus Pocus and Splinter both gained a point. Child's Play 2 gained a point, went from a 6.1 to a 6.2. Halloween 2 has gained a point, going from a 5.8 to a 5.9. We've got Deep Blue Sea has gained a point. It's gone from a 5.5 to a 5.6. Terrifier Nico has gained 3 points and has gone from a 5.5 to a 5.8. And that is purely down to the fact that when we reverse reviewed that movie, it didn't have a Metacritic score. It now has a Metacritic score of 7.7. And that's seen it really shoot up there. Rubber's dropped a point down to a 5.4. Silent Hill has gained one up to a 5.5. Hubie Halloween has gained one and is now at a 5. And finally, Troll 2, much like Terrifier, didn't have a Metacritic score, now has a Metacritic score. Its Metacritic score is a 4.2, and that's moved it from a 1.7 to a 2.1. So those are the changes for those movies. I do still need to like put them into the actual leaderboard, but those are the changes that I will action. Nico, do you want to go do one of your movies first, and we'll take it in turns I can update the leaderboard whilst we do this.
You mentioned two in there that I've changed, so I'll start with the one that I haven't. That you haven't actually mentioned. So I watched World War Z recently, so I'm bumping that up to a 7.
World War Z, you rated where is it on my leader? I'll try to find it on the leaderboard now.
I think I've still got the board here. Hold on 2 seconds.
Oh, there it is. I've got it there. So you rated it a 5.
Yeah.
And now you're going for a 7. Did you say?
Yes.
So why are you changing that?
Because I rewatched it recently and I thought I was a bit harsh on it, to be honest.
You thought you were harsh on it?
Yes.
Why?
I was actually talking to folk and they're like, yeah, it's a movie you actually like, but you fucking still gave it a 5. And I'm like, well, it's a good movie, but still not top 10 worthy. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's over. Like, we've both done movies, though, where, you know, we've liked it, but we still understand and appreciate that it maybe doesn't deserve a particularly high rating.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't necessarily say that's, like, a negative thing. But you've put it up by, what was that, 2 points you put it up? A 5 to a 7. Okay, that's fair. My first movie, Nico, you're going to... You're going to hate me so much.
It's got to be Lost Boys, you're a dick.
No, I've not touched Lost Boys, but it is Troll 2.
Oh, Jesus.
I can't, you know, in all good consciousness, Nico, I can't give it a 0. And I know it's a terrible movie, but I get so, so much joy from that movie that I can't do it. I can't be that, like, mean to it. So I'm going from a 0... It was the only movie I've ever given a 0, and I'm going to give it a 3.
Jeez. I gave that, I think it was a 1.
You gave it, no, you gave it half a point.
Yeah, for just being a movie.
So, yeah.
At least they tried, was basically what I thought with that.
That's my change, Nico.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of my changes, sorry. What's up next for you?
So you I've actually got them here right in front of me. I'll send you the link because I sent it to Zeta, so I wouldn't change it, right?
Uh-huh.
And you said beforehand there's one that's going to annoy me. You're probably going to change it by 0.5.
Have you done it to me? Have you changed one by 0.5 just to annoy me?
No, I already picked it before you said it. That's the funny thing.
Oh, well, okay. Go for it. Go for it.
So I'm changing Event Horizon.
Uh-huh.
To a 9.
Which you had Event Horizon at an 8. Did you have it an 8.5?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've changed it to an... you know what? I will take anything that gets Event Horizon moving in the right direction. I'll take. So why are you changing Event Horizon?
So all three of the movies that I'm changing, it's because I've watched them all recently and I've thought, I was like, well, all of them are added scores. There's nothing I'm deducting.
Oh.
So, I thought I was a bit harsh on these three movies. One of them I wasn't even harsh about. I just think it deserves better.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was
Okay.
my second one.
I think all three of the movies that I've picked, I've also increased scores on. I don't think I've decreased the score on anything.
Yeah.
So, my second movie, and I really tittered with this one because it's still not necessarily a movie I like, but I think it's maybe I was very grumpy. And you're not going to like this because you actually rated this one lower than me and I'm increasing the score. But I think I was just maybe a bit too grumpy about it. And I, again, it's almost like the Troll 2 thing. Like I kind of appreciate the laugh aspect of it. It's Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. And we've gotten a lot of flack, Nico, for
I
this
don't care a
movie
shit.
being right down at the bottom of our leaderboard. I'm not,
Fucking
and
gosh.
so I'm gonna move it.
Happy, happy Halloween,
I'm
Halloween,
gonna move it,
Halloween.
Nico, from a 2, because that's what I gave it, to a 4.
Shocking.
I just
I've lost a little bit of respect for you there.
have you,
That is just fucking everything we said in the podcast. I still stand by fucking that is awful, that movie.
I mean, I still like I'm still only giving it a 4, so I'm not sitting here saying that this is suddenly, a good movie.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's as bad as we made it out to be.
Yeah.
So that's my second one. Nico, what's your second? Oh, your third, sorry, your third one, your last one.
Yeah, so my last one I've actually given a 10 to.
Okay. That makes me nervous for some reason.
And you mentioned there that it went down in score as well. That's the funny thing. That's why you were talking about it. I was laughing my head off. I'm changing Prey to a 10 because I
You're
genuinely think it's
changing.
the best.
Ooh.
I think it is the best Predator movie. I rewatched it and there's just, it's set up that franchise again that was dead in the water, I think.
Okay, that's a big change, and that's one that actually might have some pretty serious repercussions about like positioning on leaderboards and things. So you've got, I mean, I gave Prey an 8. You know what? Prey was definitely one that I thought about altering, but I agree with you. I actually rewatched Predator a couple of days ago, like the original, and I loved Prey, but I still love Predator more.
See, yeah, I prefer Prey now. I was the same as you, but only because Prey has set it up so well that they're coming out with a TV show for it. They're coming out with an Alien TV show because of it. There's another Alien movie. There's another Predator movie going to be coming. They're talking about redoing Alien versus Predator properly,
Yeah.
which I really hope they do because those comics were fucking epic. So, yeah, it's reignited the whole thing. It's like Disney are using that as a basis for a lot of stuff now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're not going to get any fucking complaints from me because I do genuinely love Prey. I don't think it's a number 10 movie. I'm just going to say it. Like I don't think it's a 10 out of 10 realm. I think it's pretty fucking close. I think for movies for especially for me and you, Nico, because I think we are relatively even you, who's probably considered to be the slightly more generous out of the two
Yeah.
of us. I still think between us we're pretty harsh judges.
Yeah.
I and given that, I just don't think it's a 10 out of 10 for me. I think that I've got it at an 8, and I think an 8 is where it should be.
Well, I'm changing mine to a 10 because I genuinely think it's done so much for
The
those movies
franchise.
that it needed it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean I totally get where you're coming from with it.
And the fact that it's rebooting another franchise off the back of it is getting me as well. It's not just one franchise that's doing it's two.
I'm definitely not stalling for time so I can finish updating this
I think the thing with Prey that I did that with the main reason that I bumped it up is when I rewatched it, there's so much more detail and stuff to do with the Predator that it's like a it's thrown it back to before Predator really well. So much so that folk are coming out with maybe doing another one further back and one nowadays. So you've got two different ones coming out roundabout. That's what they were talking about as well, which could work if you brought them out roundabout the same time.
So, just to clarify, Nico, you have bumped World War Z, Event Horizon, and Prey as your three movies.
Yes.
And you've increased Event Horizon ever so slightly, and you've gone a couple of points up on both Prey and World War Z.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So my final movie, Nico, it's an all-time classic horror movie. It's widely considered one of the greatest horror movies of all time. And when we reviewed it, we weren't necessarily particularly high on it. Not because we didn't understand the influence it had on horror, but we just didn't really think of it that fondly at the time.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Nico.
I
You know what? Like,
knew you were going to chase that one.
I think maybe I was just being a little harsh on it. And I think sim again, I think if you look back and look at the influence that
You've
movie's
been
had,
playing the game too much.
and what I've barely played the game actually. The game's dead. The game's dead in the water.
Yeah.
I just think it deserved more than the low scores that we gave it. So I'm bumping it from a 7, which is what I originally gave it, to an 8.5.
I'll stick with a six for that.
You stick with a 6 for that. So all of those scores that the critics have changed, plus the scores that me and Nico have just altered, has had a pretty big impact there on the overall leaderboard. And I'm very pleased to say, Nico, that Troll 2 is well and truly off of bottom spot and is now third from bottom.
Right, so come on, what's the bottom five? Well, what's the bottom 10 and what's the top 10?
Right, so the bottom 10 now, the top 10 hasn't changed. Like, it hasn't
Okay.
altered the top 10. So the top 10, as things stand, is currently Cabin in the Woods at 10, Nightmare on Elm Street, Dog Soldiers, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, The Omen, Reanimator, The Thing in fourth, Halloween in third, Jaws in second, and Alien in first. So that is currently the top 10. The bottom 10, however, has changed.
Okay.
And I'm just 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So in 82nd place, which is the highest of the top 10, it's Zombievers.
Right.
Then it's Five Nights at Freddy's,
Right.
Innocent Blood,
Okay.
that
I thought Innocent Blood got more than Five Nights at Freddy's, though.
you gave it more than Five Nights at Freddy's. I certainly didn't.
No, I was meaning overall, I thought it was thinking.
Nope. Innocent Blood has a 4.6, Five Nights at Freddy's has a 4.7.
Okay. I thought it was the other way around. I was just trying to find it.
Then now it's Halloween 3, which I think has jumped from a 4 to a 4.3 overall.
Okay.
Then it's The Human Centipede, which I still
Right.
think is really low, but I think my score of it was fair. Then it's Long Time Dead. Then fourth from bottom is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Fucking wonderful thing about Tigger.
The Tigger's not in that fucking movie.
I know he's coming soon. He's coming soon.
The title of Tigger's porno.
Aye.
Then third from bottom now
T-t-t-tigger!
is Troll 2. Oh, who would you rather have come on you, Tigger or Tony the Tiger? It's great! Third from bottom is Troll 2. Second from bottom is Attack of the Herbals, which means the lowest rated movie now on Pod of the Damned is Lost Boys the Tribe.
Agreed.
So there you go.
That is low, but I still think Troll should be below it.
Event Horizon definitely has jumped up a couple of spots though. So, we'll give it that. World War Z has jumped up a couple of spots. Prey has jumped up, I think, about four or five spots actually. It's now in 16th place. So it's went right back up there. Same as Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it's went back up there as well. So
Fair enough.
Good to see Prey back in the top 20.
Yeah.
So there you
It's
go.
deserved.
Yeah. So there you go. That's gonna do it for this 100th episode spectacular. Nico, thank you for joining me over 100 episodes.
Thanks for having me on.
Do you think we're gonna make it to 200?
Oh, guaranteed.
Well, well, that remains to be seen. But up
If we
next,
actually do it the way that we're planning on doing it now, we'll manage 200.
up next on the show, Nico, we're talking. We've already said it. We're talking all about aliens, and we've been. I'm very much looking forward to this discussion.
Same.
So it should be good. Anyways, we're gonna fire out here. Thank you to everyone who's supported us over these 100 episodes. Thank you for following us on our socials, for signing up to our Patreon, for sending us emails, sending us comments, and just generally supporting the show. You know, we really are still looking to really grow this show a lot in 2024. So hopefully everyone who's listening to this, you can stay with us on the journey in through another year. We've got a lot more horror movies we want to review. We've got a lot of hot non-horror movies we want to review. Like I say, we'll bring back the top five series. We'll bring back whatever it is anyone wants us to bring back. But we will be committed to making this show a success and continuing through 2024. We'll bring more guests. We'll have new guests, returning guests. Everything's going to happen. A lot's already in the works, guys. So thank you once again. And until next week on the Pod of the Damned, just remember, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Thank you.